Cornelia, you're responsible for sustainable agriculture, food, and forest production. How would you define your mandate?
So sustainable production in either agriculture or forestry can be considered to be reducing the cost of production for producers, so that would be an economic outcome. It could also be considered to be increasing value or profitability. And finally, it's about looking after our environment and making sure that production practices contribute to a healthy environment.
Well, how important is this to Alberta's economy?
If you take a look at the agriculture and forest sectors in the province, they contribute approximately $20 billion and $5.5 billion respectively. And I think if you take a look at employment statistics, agriculture and its associated industry like equipment dealers and so on would employ about 350,000 people in the province. And forestry would be in the neighborhood of 20,000 people. You could also take a look at it in terms of land base, and in Alberta, about 38 million hectares is devoted to forestry, and about 21 million hectares is agricultural land.
People call all kinds of things sustainability or sustainable. How do you define it for your work?
So sustainable production has two different connotations for Alberta Innovates BioSolutions. One would be investment in products or processes that would lead to traits that the market would value, and another one would be the building of sustainable production systems, such as reduced tillage, for instance, ensuring that the soil is well managed, ensuring that there is a high level of biodiversity in the forest, and those sorts of things. So when we talk about sustainable production and market-driven traits and products, we could think about research that would lead to a reduced cost of production, or an increase in the value of the commodity that's produced. But we always consider the research that we're funding in terms of its contribution to a healthy environment.
The industries, agriculture and forestry, they face a number of challenges. Yeah. We're always seeing something coming up in the news. What would be some of those challenges, and how can BioSolutions, a BioSolutions approach, how can you help overcome these problems?
Okay. So I think we need to talk about the industries differently, and the reason being that agriculture is conducted largely on private land, whereas forest harvesting of trees and forestry is conducted on public land. So I'll start with agriculture. Farmers are actually small businesses. So they're very much influenced by things like the value of the Canadian dollar, by fluctuating commodity prices, by global competition, and climate change. Those would be a number of the challenges. But we also need to think about increasing urbanization and the resulting reduction of agriculturally productive land. And finally, they do have some challenges in accessing sufficient capital for reinvestment in farm businesses. So these are just a few of the things that farmers face on a daily basis. But the good news is that the economists project that commodity prices will remain strong for a number of years. So we're certain to see an increase in the profitability and prosperity in the agriculture sector. The forest sector, on the other hand, is conducted largely on public land, and their challenges are a little bit different. From an economic point of view, they are also affected by global markets for timber and for pulp and paper. But they also have competition on their land base for other industries, such as oil and gas exploration, mining, and bioindustrial manufacturing. We see also a rapid expansion of non-forest sector dependent uses on the landscape. And I'm thinking of the folks who live in a small community but value the land for recreational uses. So there's this competition on the landscape. These are some of the significant challenges that the forest sector is faced with. One of the ways Alberta Innovates BioSolutions can help is to help develop new approaches to land use, water conservation, species at risk, and those sorts of things.
So what are some of the things that you're doing?
So we're investing in a number of projects. We also assist the industry in holding workshops to explore what the industry can do with respect to tree improvement, to preservation of grizzly bear, to the application of new technologies like LIDAR and multispectral imaging. Those are a few examples of the workshops that we've held for the forest sector. So some of the projects that we've financed just recently have to do, again, with grizzly bear, but also with managing wildland fires and modeling fire outbreaks. And this would be particularly relevant to incidents such as happened at Slave Lake last year. We also are involved in forest revegetation and nutrient status and retention in reconstructed soil. So this is like reclamation of lands after oil sands activity would be an example.
You have this broad range, and you do have a number of projects on the go. Mm-hmm. If you look at the research end of things, what are some things coming down the pipe or futuristic kinds of things that you're aiming towards?
So this year we also undertook a consultation of the forest sector, and there are six things that always emerged at the top of the heap, and they related to the application of new technologies, and we talked a little bit about LIDAR and multispectral imaging, but they want to use these technologies for responsible forestry practices as well as predicting the growth and yield that they would get out of certain land base. They're concerned about seed zones and the ability to adapt to climate change. So as our weather is warming, what are the species that they can plant so that 80 years from now there's something to harvest and that the forest is sustainable? And they take this responsibility very seriously. They're also concerned about species at risk like grizzly bear and caribou. And how do we develop management plans now that would sustain those grizzly and caribou populations? Of course, no conversation could take place without mentioning mountain pine beetle and spruce budworm and other pests that come and destroy trees in the province and reduce their economic viability. And we did talk a little bit about reclamation. This is their final item of importance, is how do we reclaim land from seismic activity or oil and gas activity or forestry activity, roads on the landscape, in a manner that contributes to that biodiversity and sustainability in the forest.
And how would you apply that to agriculture?
Agriculture is a little bit different. So there we're looking, again, at either reducing the cost of production or increasing value of the production. This is more an economic outcome. So we would look at things that are way out there, like looking at the possibility of using eggshells as a means of producing supercapacitors, for instance. That's a very futuristic project. There are others that are a little more practical. How do we control blackleg or clubroot in canola? What about stripe rust in cereal? So controlling those diseases and pests that agricultural producers deal with on a daily basis. We would also take a look at improvement in cereals particularly, but also in pulses for food value and dry beans. In Alberta, we have this tremendous opportunity to improve our agricultural production so that we can contribute to the food that's going to be required to support 9 billion people by 2050. In addition, we're also looking at enhancing livestock production through better ways of producing broiler birds, through ensuring that the meat produced by our cattle is the highest quality, and we're looking at science and technology as ways to improve both the safety and quality of meat in Alberta.
Now, you did mention climate change, and that is definitely an issue for everybody, whether it's agriculture or forestry. What are you looking at in terms of adaptability?
So we're looking at adapting crops to a warming climate. An example would be the increasing acres of soybeans and grain corn that we see in the southern part of the province, and investing in research that would further reduce the time to maturity of crops so that we could adapt them to central Alberta. That would be one example of agricultural adaptation to climate change.
Well, you have a lot on your plate with both agriculture and forestry and all of these different projects. How much does that come to in terms of dollars?
So altogether, Alberta Innovates Biosolutions has invested in about 146, 147 projects, and that fluctuates from year to year. Our investment in 2011, for instance, was about $58 million over the lifetime of a particular project. And when we consider that we do many things in partnership with others, other organizations like Alberta Livestock and Meat Agency, Alberta Crop Industry Development Fund, the total investment in those projects would be in the order of $180 million. And that would, again, would be over the life of the project.
Thank you very much, Cornelia.
Oh, you're welcome.